Hello, my name is Leah Fiore Tracy, and welcome to Take Me to Eternity. Today I'm going to be talking about Satanism in the church. There are so many different things that we see going on in the church today that people wouldn't equate to Satanism, but they actually are. There's a rise of what some say is taking back New Age practices in the church today. So often we see now things akin to witchcraft or the occult being spouted in so-called Christian groups. Anything from calling on the dead, necromancy, tarot cards, all various forms of divination are being said to be holy. We see people talk about prophesying, and it looks more like a cold reading from a psychic. Satanist philosophy of do as thou wilt is being perpetrated in the church today. People like Richard Rohr with the idea of ego self being pushed widely. We see a rise in people using the Enneagram, which is an occult tool that was channeled and twisted into the form that you see today. And when I say Richard Rohr, so many people say, oh, but I don't follow him. But there are so many teachers today out there, so many so-called Christian evangelical pastors who are actually promoting him. They're quoting him, and they are teaching the same things that he teaches. Unfortunately, people just don't see it a lot of times. Satanists use the power of Satan to conjure what they want, saying that words and thoughts have power. Christians are actually doing the same thing in a lot of ways. They use the idea that if you believe something, it will come true. In their grab for power, both use similar vocabulary, and it really seems that much of the atheistic Satanists do so trying to muddy the waters with various definitions that never quite fit what they teach, much like so many Christians today, so many churches that adopt the same philosophies of your words have power, and you need to speak your truth into being, you need to speak your healing into being, you need to believe it enough for it to actually happen. This is just the law of attraction. It's a satanic ideology that Christians are just gripping onto. Hypercharismatics and the NAR have a lot of similarities with Satanism, and that seem to go unnoticed. The hyperfixation on power, on self-gratification, on emotionalism, they honor themselves above all and seek to wield their power to get what they want. It's all about your will. It's not about God, really. They may tout God as a source, but they actually act like it's their own source. They act like they have the power to do, and they don't. With both the hypercharismatics, the NAR, and Satanism, it is not thy will be done. It is my will be done. We see the same kinds of decrees, declarations, and vision board ideas perpetrated in both peoples. They view themselves as a power source, making themselves into a god. The little gods idea that so many twist and say is Christianity, and you know what, it's got really far reaches. I may say a few names on here about who teaches the little god doctrine, but it goes way beyond who I'm talking about. I have heard this spouted from Joyce Meyer, to Joel Osteen, to T.D. Jakes, and even various Bethel leaders and Hillsong and so many others. Most word of faith people, this is exactly what they teach. The idea that we are little gods is a damnable heresy, and it needs to be squelched. Satanists say that man made gods, and it's just a reflection of God within. Richard Rohr teaches that you are just to find the God within. It's what the New Age teaches. You know, there's so many different forms of you are your own God, and hypercharismatics and the NAR have latched onto that. They say that God made man in his image, therefore we are little gods. If man makes mankind and animals make animal kind, then God makes God kind. And I've heard that touted again by Joyce Meyer, by T.D. Jakes. But there's a host of people, Chris Valentin, Bill Johnson, they all adhere to this, and it permeates their theology. This flies in the face of scripture. God making us in his image does not mean that we are divine. That is a pantheistic view. Joyce Meyer is one who teaches a very egocentric satanic philosophy with things like the power of the mind and the power of your words. Along with Kevin Zadi wrote a book on power words, which was endorsed by Dr. Michael Brown, by the way, who knew there was problems with it. These are very accepted among evangelicals today. These people are highly looked up to. So often I hear great things about Dr. Michael Brown. I hear great things about Joyce Meyer. I hear great things about Kevin Zadi and the Demon Slayers and the Bethels and the Hillsongs and it just keeps going. And you know what? These people are pushing a demonic ideology. These are well accepted among many, many, many evangelicals today, and they're pushed by them. And these books are handed out, the seminars are gone to, money's given to them, and it is absolutely wrong. And it needs to be called out more. People need to not be scared in order to say, this is wrong, and these people are teaching things that ought not to be taught. It flies against scripture. But the part of the problem is people aren't willing to actually study their scripture to know. They just want to memorize it and have the little parts and pieces that they think fit work to their advantage. We see homosexuality and transgenderism being pushed in the church far and wide now. We're told to not just be tolerant, but accepting and proud of these things. Andy Stanley is only one of the people who holds and perpetuates this view loudly in the so-called church these days. More and more people we see, like Flamey Grant, and people in drag are at the Dove Awards. I mean, look at what is called Christian these days. If we had Eminem as one of the top Christian songs, you see so many different people being touted as Christian, and yet they're not. They don't look like they are. They don't act like they are. They just say God sometimes. Individuality and going against the grain is widely valued in the Satanic Church. Bestiality, homosexuality, all of these things are widely accepted. Transgenderism, all of that. Galatians 5:19-23 says, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." When we look at things like drunkenness, we have a host of people who talk about being drunk in the spirit. They fall all over the place. They crawl on their hands and knees. They bark like dogs. They howl like wolves. I mean, this is not the fruit of the spirit. This is the fruit of the flesh. And so many people say that this is a demon, but in fact, this is flesh. This is sin, and it needs to be called out as such. You don't need a demon slayer. You simply need to follow the word of God. When we look at sensuality, that's just emotionalism. When we look at the evangelical church as a whole today, you see so much emotionalism in the music, in the sermons. It's all about yourself. It's all about you and not God. It's all about making yourself feel good and power. We see these being perpetuated in things like The Jesus Calling, which is a channeled book. It was actually modeled after two seers who were occultists, and they wrote a book called God Calling. Sarah Young wanted more than what the Bible had, and so often we hear teachers talk about wanting more than what the Bible had, or that the Bible is just a stepping stone, or that you need your own personal prophecy. I've heard Priscilla Shire talk down about the Bible and talk up about prophecy. She said that there will be a point where you're going to want more than these old prophecies that God gave in the Bible. You're going to want your own. You're going to want your own new revelations. There are so many people that cause division with their fleshly desires. They want experience and power more than God himself. They claim that their power comes from God, but we see by their fruit, which is what they say about God, how they act, what they do, that they are walking by the flesh, and not only that, but we see the fruit that shows where they truly seek their power from. You can see the fruit by what they say they believe about God. You can see it how they treat the Bible, how they talk about it. Do they take it in context, or do they just twist it? Now many are deceived, and they don't know any better. But many of these so-called Christian teachers know scripture, and they twist it so badly to make it all about man. It's inexcusable, and the people who are listening to them ought to be in their Bible. They ought to be in their Bible, searching it, knowing what it says, knowing why it says it, in context. If you're listening to somebody talk about the Bible, you should have your Bible open, and if they're taking a part of a verse, there's a huge red flag. If they are telling you that it means something that when you read it, that is not what it means, there's a huge red flag. That is satanic right there. Joyce Myers said, "As a man thinks, so he is." And she explains that. She says that it means that you have the power with your thoughts. Her buddy Joel Osteen says the same thing. That's what he teaches, is the power of thoughts, the power of words. You make your own reality. Is that part of a verse in the Bible? It is. It's part of a verse in the Bible. It's Proverbs 23. Yet this is talking about knowing the people you're associating with. Not every man thinks of you the way that he presents himself to. The verse actually says, it's Proverbs 23, 6 through 7. I'll start at 6. "Do not eat the bread of a selfish man, or desire his delicacies. For as he thinks within himself, so he is. He says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you." Does that mean that our thoughts have the power to make things become real? No, and if you read that, that's not what you would get from it. She also quotes part of Romans 4:17, saying, "Even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist." That's it. That's all she quotes. And she says that it means that we can call things into being, things that are not as if they were, with our own words, because our words have that much power. The verse actually says, "As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you, in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist." Who is that talking about? Who calls into being that which is not as if it is? Who is the one that creates with his mouth? That's God. These are just a couple examples from one person which shows her twisted satanic view of man. And you know what? The reason I use her is because she's so widely accepted, for one, and for two, so many different people glean from her and they say the same things. It gives man power that he does not possess, and it puts God's attributes on man. People get mad when they hear me attribute these things to a satanic push, but what was Satan's lie in the beginning? Did God really say, "And you can be just like him"? It's being perpetrated through a lot of Christianity right now. That is the idea of Satanism, and that's the idea of the hyper-charismatic and NAR groups. Do as thou wilt. It's about your will. You do what you want. Whatever you want is what you can speak into existence. You can have faith to believe and it'll happen. You have the power. Be your own God. We see a false spirit in the churches today, one that looks exactly like the flesh and not the Spirit of God, one that is a mockery to God, one that looks opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. We see this in things like toking the Holy Spirit, shooting up the Holy Spirit, grave soaking, calling on the Holy Spirit over and over and over to fill this place and fill me and give me power. I mean, you see so many people that are so obsessed with power from the Holy Spirit that they just completely disregard the gospel. And the gospel becomes, you have to have signs and wonders, or it's not a gospel. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is not about signs and wonders. It's about our sin. It's about our redemption from our sin. It's about what Jesus did, not what we do. We see the hypercharismatic and the NARs using the Holy Spirit as a force, much like Satanists use Satan as a force. They are using him, but God is not to be used. God, we are to do God's will. He is not there to do our will. Unlike what Chris Vellaton says, you know, I mean, he explicitly said that God is here to do our will and that he takes pleasure in doing our will. But that's not what scripture says. It's not about us. We see so many, you know, who say that you need to claim your healing, claim your money, claim your job, claim that house. It's all about you decreeing and declaring, making things into reality that aren't. You know, the universe is going to give you what you want, is what they're saying. It's just another form of the New Age occultist ideology out there. It's Satanism. It really, really is. Because if you look at what Satanists say and you compare it to what a lot of these hyper-charismatics and the NAR say about a power source, okay, about how you get what you want, they're saying the same thing. They really are saying the same thing. A lot of times it's just different verbiage. Ephesians 5, 6 through 16 says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they're exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, 'Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." Wisdom comes through fearing the Lord, right? The fear of the Lord's the beginning of wisdom. We need to fear the Lord, and we need to look at him in awe and reverence. And we need to remember, we are not like him. He is not like us. The Bible tells us over and over again, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. The people who spout off, "God told me," all the time, are trying to say that their thoughts are his thoughts. And having the mind of Jesus does not mean that we are thinking his thoughts. If you want to think God's thoughts after him, then you need to be reading scripture, and you need to read it in context, and you need to know what it says, because that's how we think God's thoughts after him. We need to purge evil from among us. We need to test all spirits and walk according to the light. That means not having anything to do with evil. We are to abhor it, call it out, and flush it from among us. Too often we Christians take a backseat approach. We're told it isn't loving to call things out or say it's wrong, but they have a worldly view of love. God says not to learn the ways of the world, not to be conformed by it, but to be renewed by the transforming of our mind. And we do that by reading his word and by relying on him and the Holy Spirit to help us. We are to hold every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We are to come out from among the darkness and live in the light as children of the light. Have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness, the worldly fables, the things that are called abhorrent to God. We are not to excuse them and not to try and sanctify them. We cannot sanctify that which is evil. We're to cast them away, snatch people out of the fire, help them to see the goodness of God and the fallenness of man, so that they may humble themselves between a thrice holy God. That means purging out the idolatry, the witchcraft, the divination, occult practices, wrong ideas of who God is and who we are. We are to know him, and the only way to do that is through his word. We cannot know who God is from any other source. We are inundated with Satan's philosophies and ideologies from the time that we are born, through the people around us, the books, music, movies, television. It's everywhere in the world around us. Yet so many choose to not know the Word of God, but instead to listen to what others say about it. I've been told by multiple people that they just aren't like me. They're not the kind of people to study like I do, and they don't have the time, and that it's okay. But it's not. It's not okay. If you love God, you will love His Word, and you will want to know Him in spirit and in truth. You'll care when people are not speaking rightly about the Lord, because they're not speaking rightly about God. It's not just some person that they're not speaking rightly about. It's God that they are wrongly accusing of being something that He's not, or putting words in His mouth. It's wrong. It's evil. If you love the Lord, you're going to want to be able to rightly divide the word and talk about Him in a manner that's honoring Him. One devoid of worldly ideology as best that we can, because nobody's perfect, and I totally get that. We're all growing. We are all learning. I think it's R.C. Sproul who said that all theologians are like 70% correct. We would change the things we're wrong about, but we don't know what they are. And I get that. But if when you read the Bible, you are twisting it and you are putting yourself into it and you are reading it in a way that is not God-honoring, Jesus says the whole Bible's about Him. Why would we put ourselves into it? I don't have a Goliath. I am not David. We need to view the word in context. We need to read it in its entirety, and we need to ponder on it and think about it and mull it over and meditate on it. We need to talk about it. We need to converse with people who might not agree with us so that we can be corrected or they can be corrected. I want to be able to rightly divide the word. I want to be able to talk about Him in a manner that I honor Him, that I'm not speaking wrongly about my God. One that is devoid of worldly ideology. We don't want to speak about Him in a way that the world does. We want to speak about Him in a way that He does. We're to strive to know Him better, to love Him with all our hearts, and to seek Him with all of our heart. That's our entirety. With the deliverance ministry on the rise, we see this idea that Christians can be indwelt by demons more and more. So many spend time talking to Satan, rebuking, binding him, and they do it more than they do humbling themselves before the Lord. They act like they have this power that they can tout, and they don't. They act like they have the power to command Satan and demons. But the Bible says, this is Jude, okay? I'm just going to read all of Jude, because Jude is very important. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe, and angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode. He kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Yet in the same way, these men also, by dreaming, defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. But Michael the archangel, when he disputed the devil and argued about the body of Moses, didn't dare pronounce judgment against him, a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals, by these things they are destroyed. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts, when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars, for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these men that Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, 'In the last time there will be mockers, following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever." Jesus has dominion. He always has. He hasn't given it up. Satan does not have dominion. He doesn't have authority. The authority is God's. God has the power. He is the one who will keep us. He is the one who will sustain us. He's talking about people in the church who crept in unnoticed. People who try to rebuke angels, but even the archangel didn't act like he had the power to rebuke Satan, but called on God to do the rebuking. These people care about themselves, and their fruit shows they don't speak rightly about God. These are the ones that are following after their own lusts, flattering people for an advantage. It makes me think of all the teachers out there that flatter the crowd with how great they are, how powerful they are, how loved they are, and, oh yeah, you need to tithe. People say that we're being divisive when we call these people out, but biblically speaking, they're the ones causing the division. We are told to earnestly contend for the faith. We are to call them out, help others who are doubting or headed to hell. Hate even the garment that's polluted by flesh. Do not participate with them, but instead expose them. We don't have the power of the angels, but God does. We don't have the power with our words, but God does. We're told to seek God for everything. He is our source of every good thing, and we are to come to him and humbly ask. It should be his will that we want done, not our own. This is what Satanism looks like in the church. It looks like people following after their own will, their own power, their own God. It's a twisting of who God really is. It's a way of viewing man as more important and God as less than perfect. It is destiny cards, Holy Spirit Ouija boards, prophecy bingo, demon hunts, putting God's power on ourselves and making his scripture all about us instead of all about Jesus. This is calling on the Holy Spirit over and over for power. It's grave soaking, vibrational healing, using the Holy Spirit as a force that you can use at your will. That is Satanism in the church. It's putting God's power on ourselves and making His scripture all about us, instead of being all about Jesus, which it's all about Jesus. It's not about us. When you read the Bible with this mentality, you can't see all of what the beautiful truth is. You can't see what God's trying to tell you because you're so focused on yourself. You're focused on your Goliath moment, on what's happening in your life to actually see what God was teaching. It's looking for yourself in scripture when we're told we are to look for Jesus from cover to cover. That's Satanism in the church. When you hear sermons that are all about you, you're hearing the satanic gospel. When you hear the songs that glorify man and talk about how great and wonderful and powerful he is, you're hearing satanic music. This is Satanism in the church today. I pray that this has put a pebble in your shoe. I pray that this has helped, maybe irked you a little bit to dig into scripture because of it. To study not just to memorize or read, but to really know. It's not about reading the Bible so you can check it off your list. It's studying it so that we can show ourselves approved. It's living in a way that is honoring of the gospel, that's worthy of the gospel. I hope that this helps you to be bold for the Lord. Maybe speak out against things that you know are wrong. To follow Him above what the world says. And to maybe view some of the things that you have heard or been taught in a different light. Thank you for listening to the Take Me to Eternity podcast. If you have questions or would like to contact me, you can email me at taketometoeternity@yahoo.com. You can find me on Facebook and YouTube under Take Me to Eternity. My podcast is on most podcasting platforms. You can also find my blog at www.taketometoeternity.com. Thank you for joining me today. It has been a pleasure. Until next time, know truth, love truth, share truth, because Jesus is truth. Be blessed.